Welcome back, everyone. Today on the podcast, I have Lashine Boyd. Lashine is a multi-talented performer and voice teacher. Today, we're going to be talking about her remarkable journey from church choir to becoming a semi-finalist on America's Got Talent. Her unique approach to singing and her passion for authenticity have shaped her teaching and her growth as a vocal performer. Lashine, welcome to the podcast. It's so great to see you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm super excited about having this conversation with you today.
I've been fangirling all over your TikTok. And now to see you go from voice teacher to performer to now being a semi-finalist on America's Got Talent season 18, what a remarkable achievement. I just want to start by saying congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it so much. And TikTok is such a fun place to be. I met a lot of other voice teachers, and especially a lot of younger voice teachers from TikTok as well. So it's a great place to be. And thank you so much.
I love your videos because I feel like you're having a conversation with us. And I almost feel like phoning you and saying, I totally agree.
Yay.
A lot of times you bring up stuff that you've encountered in your vocal studio. Can you start by sharing your journey and how you got started in the world of performing arts?
Yes. So like a lot of singers, I started in church. Dad was a pastor and music was just huge in like a very traditional Black church. And so, and then church was out in the rural areas. So there wasn't a lot of singers or musicians at times. So I found myself along with my sisters, like filling in. And that was the bulk of my music. Now I would say music education and music training. It first started there. And, you know, it's mundane. You just do it every day. You have family that's singing and whatnot. And I didn't take it seriously until my first year of community school. I ran into a teacher there. She was a music appreciation teacher. And she played this recording of Denise Graves singing the Lord's Prayer. And I remember watching government officials sit, I think it was at the National Cathedral, and they were sitting in the front row just weeping. And it kind of gave me this like bird's eye view of what music does to people. And I never forget like watching that recording. I'm like, oh, wow, I want to do that. And like, I want to have some kind of experience with that. So long story short, I went up to that music appreciation teacher. I was like, hey, I'm a nursing major. I really like being a nursing major, but I like music too. And she immediately made me sing for her, ran to the back of the classroom, grabbed the recitatives from Handel's Messiah, and was like, all right, you're going to learn these. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so that I transferred into a small liberal arts college and got my first voice teacher, and that pushed me into the world of like performing arts, and it opened me up to so much more like performance, like that happens, you know, in church as being a church musician, but also to like what's happening like out there in downtown and whatnot. So, but that's how I got started.
What an incredible story, like how one teacher kind of shaped that and kind of got you on the path towards educating yourself as a singer. And then somewhere down the line, you decided to become a voice teacher. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, yes. So when I was in college, I loved the idea that I could go to my voice lessons on that Monday or that Tuesday, and my teacher would have this like new piece of music for me to look at. And she would present this piece and she's like, I thought about you. Here's this piece. And I just always enjoyed like, wow, like someone picked something with me in mind. And so fast forward, studying at a master's of music program, and in particular studying at a seminary, and you're asking all the questions like, what am I supposed to be doing with music? I love it, I enjoy it, and all these things. I had a good friend of mine during COVID who was like, Lashine, have you ever thought about just trying teaching? And I was like, no, like I've had some voice pad courses, you know, I have my books and all those things. I was like, no, I'm not a voice teacher. And because I just assume anyone that was a voice teacher walked into a program wanting to be a voice teacher and not necessarily discovering that thing about themselves once they're in that program. And so he told me that, and like, it just kept nagging at me a little bit. And then I talked to him again and he was like, do you not think others would want to learn to do what you're doing? And I was like, what am I doing? I'm expressing myself. I was like, okay. So that was the that was the kind of like the light bulb moment. And then so after that, I went, grabbed, dust off all my books, signed up for a voice ped class, another voice ped class at my master's program. And I started, I made it a booking link, and I found my first student for a few months later. And I still work with this student till this day.
I loved seeing you on AGT and going back to that first moment when you stepped on stage. If you could tell us a little bit about how that experience impacted your life and your career.
And so many layers to it. The very first thing is it was about the challenging of myself. For example, voice teachers or singers, once we're done with a rigorous academic program, and I'm embarking on my last semester, we're out there and we're doing the thing, and we forget that there was a certain challenge that we had to meet while in that program. And we were constantly learning from our peers. And I lost that. And so going to AGT and walking on that stage, I was like, all right, this is that moment to kind of prick at myself a little bit. and so, but then also too, what I learned about teaching is it was the performer in me that allowed me to pour a lot more into my students. And at that time, I was working at a place that was geared towards singers that wanted to sing pop music. They already had gigs. They were often adults that were content creators online, and they came in. Every student was non-traditional. Every singer was a non-traditional singer, and so there were times where, like, hey, like we have to isolate registers and we have to do these things to work on the voice. And doing that within their performance schedule is crazy. And then there are often times where they're like, hey, I'm doing the showcase and I really want to sing this song, but the person, like their manager or someone else, is not the biggest fan of it. And it's like reminding them that they're the artist. And I'm like, how dare you say this to, you know, them, and you not like be putting yourself in that predicament. And so, but that moment, walking on that AGT stage, like I was thinking about all those things, considering all those things, just helped me walk on that stage and be like, all right, this is the purpose. This is the intention for this. And it's been working out great for me post AGT.
It was a beautiful performance vocally and everything. You put your heart and soul into it, and the judges really were blown away. How did you feel about the feedback you received from the judges?
So the two that comes to mind, the first one was Simon saying, you're a brilliant singer. And I'm like, yay. Like, yay, this is great. And even him asking me to, you know, judge myself in front of the whole world was another thing as well, where like learning how to celebrate yourself, even if you're not at the level you may want to be, you have acquired some things, and that is worthy to be put on display. And so that his comments was really, really really helpful. And then there was Howie's comments that I really enjoyed, where he talked about how we sometimes, and again, as a voice teacher, you know, we can build these walls for ourselves, and it's them and then it's us. And a lot of us became the voice teachers because we were once them. It's there's no wall in between. Still to this day, some of my favorite, some of the best singers I know are voice teachers. And when I think about my old voice teacher, and I'm like, wow, this woman is this huge dramatic soprano, amazing instrument. And she spent most of her time in four walls pouring into other people. And so, but how we said that, it just resonated with me. So
it's so cool to get that stamp of approval from a panel of judges in the entertainment industry. How were you able to translate their feedback into voice teacher mode? Did you kind of get a grasp of what they were saying and apply it?
Yes. One of the biggest things is coming back to voice teaching was more about this mental preparation that singers have to have. This kind of thing of, this is what I have to say to the world. And I'm just going to say it. And people who resonate with it, they're going to resonate with it. But it also taught me a lot about, there are times where we have to consider how the public and the audience is interacting with what we're doing. And their feedback definitely helped me really think about how, as artists, part of why we do what, or performers, part of why we do what we do is that we want this connection. We want this communication to happen. And so to consider that in whatever that we're doing, it's like, it's you know, we sometimes have that moment where we can do all the things that people are just looking and they're amazed. But there is this, like, there is this communication, there's this connection that drives why we do what we do. Definitely valuing that a lot in your creative or performing process.
One of the things I love about what you're doing is your voice and your approach to singing is so unique. You're not trying to fit into a certain sound. You are a multi-genre singer. And I wanted to know, how has this shaped your teaching style and your growth as a singer, just being able to sing in all these different genres?
So every voice student think they're a non-traditional voice student when going into the academy, because you're looking at everybody else and what they're coming in with. And let me tell you, I was not reading music in undergrad until my junior year. And I walked in, didn't know any better. I had my teacher, bless her heart, she really did her best with me, because I would walk in with music theater pieces. I was listening to Ella Fitzgerald walking to class. I got my IPA, like my aria translate. Like, I was just so, I guess you would say, like, sporadic in all the music that I wanted to sing. I was in small choir ensembles, was in jazz band, was like staying out late at the practice rooms with my friends, and we formed a band. I didn't know any other way to be, and it was this whole world opened up to me in school, and I wanted to do it all. And so that, in teaching, it kind of, it's translated into this thing of, there are so many aesthetic choices you can make. Mm-hmm. And as a voice teacher, this is another thing where you have to weigh, like, how do I help my singers sing in a way that they can replicate over and over again for themselves and have a long career if they're going after a career, but also not lording over their aesthetic choices. And so embracing multiple styles, my ears are fresh. I know what sounds are happening, whether we're working with the whispery pop singers or we're in music theater, the vowels are bright and forward. And so it just gave me this wide palette, I would say. And so when singers come in and they bring in all these different things that they want to try, I'm not too afraid of it, because I know what we're venturing into.
Become a stronger, more dynamic singer, connecting your voice from the bottom to the top without any breaks. My course, Mix Evolution, will help you to be able to eliminate voice breaks, strengthen high notes, and expand your range. No matter if you're starting to develop your vocal technique, or if you're picking your vocal development back up after a long hiatus, this course will help you build and strengthen your voice and give you exercises you can use for life. Head on over to my website, alitavocalstudio.com, to sign up or to find out more. If you've got questions, you can send me a DM on Instagram at alitavocalstudio. I also offer one-to-one training and coaching. You can set up a discovery call through my website, alitavocalstudio.com. What advice would you give to a singer who wants to audition for a show like AGT, or just auditions in general?
So in particular for a show like AGT, I would say it's a great opportunity. I would encourage anyone to take it. For singers, I would definitely stress, my goodness, this past season, we had some of the most viral singers on that platform who are amazing, okay? And you are also competing with different acts. And these people are at the top of what they do. They're used to getting out in front of audiences. They're used to failing in front of audiences. So they can recover very quickly. There is this confidence and this mental readiness that you would have to have on the show like that. It's a wonderful opportunity, But that preparation is vital. I would definitely tell you, if you're not already working with a vocal coach or a voice teacher, go ahead. just go ahead and do those things. And then also too, so far as like the goal is to have that career, to be very strategic when you think about going on that show as well. Be ready to talk about what you want to bring to the world, what your perspective is. Another thing for myself in particular, I had to move from a singer that thought about singing as a skill, and now in the space of I have a craft, and what is that, and how do I present that to people? Because the audience out there that AGT puts you in front of really want to know who you are. Beautiful singing is beautiful, it's amazing, but there's a personality, there's something unique about you, and definitely knowing what that is and knowing how to put that on display is going to work out in your favor.
One of the things you talked about was performance, getting into performance mode, and I'm just curious, what is your pre-performance routine like?
Okay, so I'm one of those people where, so I love going back to the lyric content, thinking about why did I choose this song? What's the purpose of this? And trying to get as close to that as I can in before that performance. I love to remind myself why I do what I do. Outside of the, you know, warming up and all the other things that you're going to do to prepare. But for me, walking out on that stage, and I would say this, like coming up in a religious background, music is a very sacred thing to me. And I always want to keep it that way. So there's always like the preparation of the heart, reminding myself like why I'm doing this, reminding myself like, hey, that's an audience out there. There's people that want to be entertained. They saw something that you did, and that's why they're coming back to see you again. And so trying to honor that is always something I'm thinking about. And it's really important because like not every day you're on it. Every day isn't like I'm going to like rainbows and butterflies. And so knowing how to sing and center that on those mental tough days or those days that, you know, I'm just not sure where life is going. Like for me, preparing for a performance is always about kind of centering back on the hard things. And I think it's been pretty successful for me so far.
Your voice studio name is Head to Heart, right?
Yes.
And I just want to highlight that because I think we're in our heads as performers, but we forget about going deeper and going into our hearts. And that really probably manifests as a more authentic performance, would you say?
Yes, because thank you for saying the name of the studio. So I'm still a fairly new voice teacher. And I have a mentor. And one thing I really love is when I was talking to her about having my online voice studio was what were my values? And you like to think that you know, but like now on my like third year of teaching, I realized like there are some values that I have that that's just normal, right? But definitely, you know, thinking about the heart, thinking about what you have to say, you know, when you write a song, who's the first person you want to listen to it? All those little things matter. And I think are very important in the voice lesson or voice teaching dynamic. It helps you get back and connected to what is authentic to you. While I'm saying this, I'm thinking about one lesson I had with a student where we're talking about who are those silent characters. When you're writing these songs, you know, who lives are you thinking about when you're piecing together these lyrics? And for her, it's a lot of her friends. It's her husband, it's her children. And I'm like, that is where authenticity lies for you. The people that you love are very crucial in you being able to capture what you want to say. And so, yes, very, very much helps bring out the authenticity.
This has been an incredible conversation. Where can people find you? I know you have some new music out and you just released a couple of singles. And I got to tell you, I was blown away by the vocals. I mean, you just sound so incredible. And again, so unique. Where can people find you? And can you talk a bit about your new releases?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can find my music on pretty much all those streaming platforms. Right now, I am songwriting, which is cool. but I love a good cover. I love seeing what what people are doing with covers. And a lot of the songs I released, all of them have been covers and just songs that that I love. And I never really thought much about, is this something I should be singing? But yes, so a lot of the music right now has been like alternative rock bands or like some kind of pop song that that I connect with. But in the future, there will be some original material that I'm super happy about.
It's so cool to hear the different styles of music and you making them your own. What's your process in finding the right cover that you are drawn to?
I like those songs where it's like, it feels real good. And it's like fast and upbeat. It's in the background. And we're not really paying attention to the lyric content. That is the first thing. Funny thing is when I'm working with students and they brought in this song and it's so fast paced. And I'm like, all right, let's talk about intention when we're singing this. And we start speaking the lyrics. I'm like, oh, this has so much more meaning. Or there's a reason why we were drawn to this piece. And so for me, that's the huge thing when I'm deciding about a cover or how to sing a cover. It's like, what's that song that just feels good? But if I slowed it down, it made me think about it a little bit differently.
If you guys haven't heard Lashine's music, head on over to Spotify, Apple. Is it on Apple Music too?
Yes, ma'am.
And then your Instagram is?
Oh, yes. Lashine K. So L-A-C-H-U-N-E. Okay.
Lashine, I got to say a huge thanks and huge congratulations to you. I am so thrilled for all of your expertise and thank you for joining us today. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Yes. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm so glad our pathways have crossed in this virtual world.
Awesome. I'll talk to you soon.